Zephan Blacksburg here, and I'm joined today by Tony Cates. And Tony is both a teacher and lifelong student of personal development and creative self-expression. As the founder of Congruency Coaching and creator of the Refuse System, Tony has had the fortune of influencing and instructing thousands of individuals to turn their lives from self-sabotage to self-reliance. Dedicated to exposing, developing, and funding your core mission, Tony's energetic and passion-fueled approach to being of service is complemented by a six-step systematic solution for success. His Refuse system is fast becoming a fundamental curriculum in establishing the new breed of spiritual thought leaders and solution creators. Tony, what's happening today?
Yes. Hey, Zephan, how are you? Thank you so much for having me on the show, man. I'm really excited to be here and talk to you.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to have you here today. So
awesome.
I want to talk about refuse and refusing to lose in life and in success and in your business.
Yes.
I'd love to hear a little bit about, you know, your upbringings and just what has gotten you to this point of living such an awesome lifestyle.
Sure thing. Let me start by saying, you know, to me, refuse, you know, I'll explain to how exactly I got to that word and its meaning behind it. But to me, one of the things that I've always seen is people go out into the world and try to gain content and try to learn new things and try to apply it to their life. And over time and continually, you just add on top and add on top and add on top. But what you never do is you never clear that base, you know, and you never start fresh. So refuse, to start it off, refuse is about letting go of all of that stuff prior to, and, you know, all of the things that you've acquired over the years and all of the disbeliefs and all that stuff. So that's kind of where the whole program gets its origination, is just from letting go, you know, refusing what was and kind of starting fresh and let's go from here. So let me start off with that.
Yeah.
But, so basically for me, years ago growing up, you know, I had the same struggles and trials as everyone else. I don't want to get into all that drama, but, there was a lot of loss in my life. I lost my mom at a young age. And that kind of left me bewildered, never really had a father figure for all of that advice and, you know, and that learning stuff that you get. So I was kind of left to my own devices to figure things out. And I didn't really do real well with it. You know, I had a core group of friends and we all made our bad decisions. And over time, they started falling off, whether it was drugs or just, you know, bad decisions on their part. And as I was fighting, you know, I had gotten married, I started having kids, and, you know, and as we were trying to niche our place in the world without any real guidance, the people that I was relying on to ride that wave with me all started dropping off. And the last piece was one of my best friends committed suicide. And when this happened, it was really like I just didn't really understand, you know, where to go from there. That was something that really, really hit me deep home, that, you know, to make that ultimate decision that, you know what, this really just isn't that worth it. And I just couldn't connect with it, but at the same time, I couldn't figure it out either. So, so at the time I had started dipping into, personal development and reading the books and, you know, and like I was saying, you know, you can acquire all the knowledge you want, but it's just words on paper until you put it into application. So at that moment, you know, whether it be a nervous breakdown or, you know, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to label it as, I finally started to actually digest the information and applying it, partly because I had no one else to utilize my time to distract me with, you know, some of the fruitless things that we were doing at the time. I had nobody to call, you know, I had nobody to hang out with anymore. So it was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just read and read and read. And then, you know, that turned into journaling and just doing a lot of self-exploration. And through that, I kind of found the refuse system. And, you know, a lot of refuses has been so many different things over the years. It was a t-shirt company at one point, because I was trying to do, you know, express my artistic side. And then it became a cologne line and it became an energy drink. And, you know, it's had all these iterations over the years. Just as I was finding myself, it was finding its place in that. So it's kind of cool now, here we are today. and all of those pieces have come together to create what Refuse is today. And, you know, and it is, it's a 6-step system to doing exactly what that whole process did for me, which is, you know, take that deep dive internally and clear out all of the cobwebs and all of the disbeliefs and doubts, and build an intentional foundation, tap into your given creativity and utilizing it and move forward with it, and then empowering other people with A, the belief that that's possible, you know, that truly anything is possible, and then giving them your gift, whatever, you know, whatever your gift may be. You know, we were speaking earlier about rowing. You know, maybe that's what you offer to the world. For me, it's the talking, it's the motivation, it's the encouragement, along with some of the fun stuff that Refuse creates, you know, the clothing and all that stuff. You know, to me, that's my offer to the world. It's my give back to the universe for this amazing gift of life, you know, and I it's my appreciation.
That's awesome. And I heard two really great things in there. First was that, you know, kind of that mentality of nothing moves until you do, you know, so nothing actually happens unless you make it happen. So you can read all of these motivational things, you know, you can put up as many posters up on your wall as you want, right? Yeah. But unless you actually take action and do something, which it sounds like you've done multiple times, which is excellent, nothing's going to happen until you do that, which leads me to the second point, is that I like that Refuse has kind of stayed with you throughout the energy drink, throughout the t-shirt, throughout all these iterations, because it means that it's you staying true to, you know, your inner core and what you feel is necessary to give out to the world. So that's great as well. So I'd love to hear a little bit about, you know, what is this 6-step process with Refuse, and how can other people implement this in their life?
Sure. Thank you. And that's the coolest part about Refuse, and you nailed it on the head, is it's an extension of me. And that's what I encourage. When you find that thing about you that's more you than you are, you know, you don't have to say, I'm this. You just are. And it shows itself, you know, and that's kind of how Refuse has been over the years. And so, you know, other than just explaining the step-by-steps, just look at me and you'll see what Refuse is all about. You know, if you spend enough time with me, you'll know. There's no doubt. But Refuse as a program, as the program itself is, each letter represents a stage in the process. So R is to reset your defaults. And this is where you unlearn all the stuff that you've acquired. Again, the disbeliefs, the doubts, the fears, you know, all the things that you've been told you couldn't do, or you've witnessed in the world that, you know, that isn't for you, or you're not able to do. That's where we're going to, like a computer, we go in and we flip all those switches. We at least get you back to neutral, where none of that stuff exists. Then the next step is the E, which is to equip yourself. And this is where you intentionally put on your Batman belt and throw on all your utilities that you are going to need for your specific journey. You know, these are the things where, okay, well, what is Zephin? This is that deep dive inward. And what is Zephin about? What is, look in the mirror and what do I believe in? I go through a piece on your values and your core beliefs. And, you know, and this is independent. This is totally unique of you. This is without anybody else's input. You know, it's all internal at this point. And then you go to F, which is flow forward. Now you take those tools and you say, okay, well, where do I find myself in the world? How do I apply this? What is natural for me? And this is, you've seen the movie Yes Man.
Oh, yeah.
With Jim Carrey, right? So this is where I say become a yes man. And just go out there and try shit. You know, get out there and make mistakes. Be foolish. Just say yes to anything. If your buddies do something, go do it. Go try it. You know, all the things that you said, maybe next time, go out and do, because just like you finding rowing, not something you would have ever woke up and been like, I want to row today. You know, you would have never thought of that unless somebody put you in that place to do so. So, you know, I actually have some resources, you know, 150 things to try before you die kind of thing.
Awesome.
You know, just go out there and just start knocking them out. And you never know, like, they may not be the thing. My thing was acting. I grew up believing that I wanted to be an actor. But it was only because as a kid, you're only exposed to, like, 5 things to do as an adult that are going to make you rich and famous, you know? And it's like, be a basketball player, an actor, you know, there's, like, only certain things. So I thought it was always acting. So when I finally went through this rut and I was like, okay, well, let me go do let me be who I'm supposed to be. I'm going to go be an actor. Acting sucks. I really did not enjoy it whatsoever. But what I got from it was it exposed to me all kinds of fears and stuff that I didn't know I had, going on auditions and being shut down all the time. Such rejection was just like, it was overwhelming, but at the same time, it made me like go even deeper within myself. And I understood that I enjoyed the limelight. I enjoyed being in front of the camera. I enjoy the attention. I enjoy all that, the entertainment side of it. But I didn't like saying other people's words. I didn't like being a character. So again, back to refuse just being an extension of me. When I started talking about refuse in the same light as being, you know, an actor, I was like, there it is. That's the secret sauce, was be an actor, but be an actor promoting myself and just be me. You know, so it was kind of cool, like, even through doing some of these things, maybe it's not the exact thing, but, you know, you'll get an understanding and you'll find your peace. But again, back to taking action, it's about getting out there and doing stuff. So that was a long F. But but then the next piece is the you, which is make it unique. And this is where, you know, through the flow stage, you know, you'll have your mentors, to speed up the process. Obviously, you go and you acquire teachers that can give you the quick dirt down and dirties, so that you can know right out of the gate whether, you know, don't waste 5 years trying to learn something to realize that you don't want to do it.
Right.
Go out there and learn the fundamentals and be like, you know, you'll know whether this is really for you or not. So once you kind of find your focus, now what is Tim Ferriss's 20 hours? You know, a lot of people have their 10,000 hours to be an expert. You know, everybody's got their time frames, but once you get that time frame where you can self-correct. I teach it as just being self-correct. When you can realize in an industry that you're making mistakes and that you're able to correct yourself, I believe that it's time to move on from your instructors and go find your own path. So that's the unique, is taking whatever it is that you're doing and then putting your spin on it, right? How do I bring this into the world? What is my unique niche? You know, what is my unique face to it? And then the Z is that next step further. It's monetize. And I know monetize doesn't start with a Z, but it's my program and I can do what I want. So then you monetize it. And now, you know, that's the beauty of the internet. That's the beauty of what we do, which is finding ways to market and develop products and share this value with people. Because now, you know, the realization of offering value can return monetarily, you know, and then that money can create this freedom for you to be able to offer your value to more people, you know, so you're funding your own mission to grow bigger. So, you know, so that's a big piece of it is learning then how to monetize your unique creation. And then the last E, which is empower people. So now you're out there and you're moving and shaking and give back. So this is where you'll offer whatever it is, your uniqueness to the world, to say, hey, this is my gift in return to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then that exchange of value is going to create a monetary flow, which can expand your ability to empower even more people. You know, and the internet, again, the internet's a phenomenal thing that so few of us are really taking full advantage of and tapping into. So it's something that it's a core piece of getting everybody, get information online, get, you know, create your products, create your authority blogs, get out there. Me and you both can teach the same thing. Some people are going to buy it from you. Some people are going to appreciate it from me, because we just have personalities, you know, and that's the beautiful thing. So there is no such thing as, oh, oversaturation in an industry, because nobody can be me. So you can't oversaturate me. People are going to just be like, man, that guy Tony he's a great guy, or, you know, he's the other side of the spectrum.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're going to make their decision. So, you know, I feel like no matter what it is that you want to do, never concern yourself. If people are out there doing it, that's proof of concept. You know, I mean, it's not like, it's not, oh, I can't do that now because Zephin's doing it. No, it's like, well, let me learn from Zephin. Let me go give Zephin a high five and let's work together, you know, and create this thing, because there's plenty of people on this planet, you know, 7 billion people, and only 2 of them are have even access to the internet, let alone are participating in the internet. So, you know, the numbers get real small when you really get down to how many people are actually doing what we do. It's just like buying a blue car, you start to notice all the blue cars. So when you start getting into an industry and you're like, oh man, there's, you know, a million people doing this, and not really, you're just happening to notice them now because now you're in that circle. you know, there's still countless of people out there that, that need your information, you know, that, that are desperate to hear what it is that you have to say. So there's never a case where I can't find a voice for someone, you know, and that's what I focus on is exposing that voice.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of see it as, you know, if I were to go and just open up a local pizza shop down the street, sure, I've got Pizza Hut, Papa John's, Domino's, you know, eight other major chains, all within probably a mile or two radius. But I don't think that that would prevent me from making a successful pizza business. And
absolutely,
you know, it's some people like the garlic crust. Some people like, I think there was one the other day where it had like hot dogs in the crust or something. So I don't know, like people are coming up with new stuff all the time.
Yeah, right.
It's like at the end of the day, it's still pizza and you're going to like it one way versus, you know, someone else might like it a different way.
Absolutely. And I definitely appreciate the pizza analogy because you're right. You can ride down the street, you're going to see, you know, on any given trip, you're going to see 15, 20 pizza places. And you know, I don't know about you, but me, I will stop at each one. You know, like I like that diversity. So to me, I appreciate the fact that all of those people decided to start pizza places, you know, because it gives me variety and that's what I enjoy. So
yeah, and same thing with the car. You know, I didn't even know that my model of car existed until I got it. And then it was like everyone and their grandmother bought the same one as I did.
I started a trend. Yeah,
yeah. I'm like, no, they already had it. So, yeah, all this starts with a reset, though, right? Like this, a lot of people don't even start because they get so stuck in where they're at that they don't even wipe the slate clean. You know, it's kind of like after you've written all over a chalkboard and you kind of like half erase it so there's still writing and stuff on it everywhere. It's kind of like you have to actually take a towel and wet it and actually clear the chalkboard before you can write on it again and have it be clear. So I wanted to ask you, like, where might people be in their lives where they decide that they have to reset? Like, what is the tipping point? Because I know for me, it was, you know, I was working at the Apple store and I absolutely hated it. And one day this woman came barreling in, started a huge scene in front of like 200 people. And I'm at that point where I'm like, you done yet? Like, you can yell at me all you want, but it's kind of like, you know, it's the same thing as in a restaurant. Like, the people can spit in your food. I can also destroy your iPhone. So, like, right. Why are you yelling at me? Like, you dropped it in the toilet. It was not my fault. It never was my fault. You know, we could fix this pretty easily if you're nice to me. So, like, where do people have to, where's that tipping point come in? Like, what has to happen in their life for them to be like, all right, like, this has to stop?
I mean, that's the huge ultimate is the nervous breakdown, right? Is the point where you've got the gun to your head, you know, and the bullets in the chamber. And this is the point that I don't want people to get. But I hate to say, there's a huge benefit in that, you know, and it's because there's an amount of required suffering that goes into just an appreciation for life. And through my travels and through my exposure to different people, I found that those that have suffered more and have seen that, have had that, those exposures, tend to recover and launch in the other direction, you know, like pulling back that rubber band, that boomerang. When you let it go, or that bow and arrow, when you let it go, the further you pull it back, the further it's going to shoot. So the people that have the harder kind of reality, exposure to reality, tend to kind of launch in the other direction. At least that's been my exposure. But what I'm hoping is with the age of technology and with our ability to now to get out there in front of people sooner, faster, better, we're able to limit that amount of necessary suffering. To say, you know, here's good advice, here's good information. And because now there's more people that are offering that, and you'll be able to connect with more people. You know, as like I said, through my learning on personal development, there was only but, you know, a couple big core names that I only found because I went searching for them. You know, I mean, this isn't the information that's like, you know, when you turn on the TV and you watch these commercials, how often do you see personal development commercials on TV? Like, that's not what they're selling.
Right.
So you have to, right now, you have to go seek this information. But luckily, you know, there's Facebook now and the algorithms, and over time, as you're exposing the fact that, you know, you're having some doubts or questions or, you know, concerns, maybe those ads, you know, everybody hates the fact that they're snooping on our privacy, but you know what? It's going to give you an exposure to some different things that you need. And hopefully our information will be what's popping up there, you know, if we do our job well. But, so I'm hoping that just being willing to being out there and being receptive of the information, it will eventually be all you need to have that recovery, to have that change in your life. But right now, I mean, like I said, for me, it was, I really needed to get to that point where I was going to pull the trigger.
Right.
And being exposed to someone that did, because had he not done that, he may be telling you the story right now, you know, about his best friend. So, I now have it in my mission to get in front of people before that happens, before they get to that point. And, you know, through entertainment, through creativity, whatever the case may be, finding that way to connect to you. Even if you just have a doubt, even if you're curious, I think this is something that everybody should be curious throughout life. You know what I mean? There should never be that one point where it happens, or that point where you say, okay, there, I got through that. Now here's my focus. You know, to me, it's a forever learning. It's a forever growing. So I don't ever want to think, even though refuse is an extension of me, iterations, you know, refuse in 10 years may be an automobile. It may be, you know, Lord only knows what it could be, because I'm going to continue to allow it to grow as I grow, because I'm not going to stop growing. Anytime I find a thirst for expansion, I'm going to go in that direction. And that's, you know, like you said, if you can't wake up for something, if you're waking up because of something, there's your sign.
Yeah.
You know, if you dread any point of your day, or the person you're looking at next to you, or, you know, any of those fundamental situations in your life, you know, your relationship, your job, your, you know, where you're going to school. If you're going to school because your parents told you to go to school, if you're, you know, not that I'm down in college, but college isn't for everybody, but people just fall into it as a default because it's the thing to do. I mean, that's, any of those points are like red flags, like, hey, we need to get deep inside. You know, when you're too focused on external things, when you're looking at everything as an external material satisfaction, you know, if you're looking for, well, I'll be happy when I get the house, when I get the car, when I get the hot bride, when I get, you know, if you're seeing all these external things, there's a big sign. You know, if to me, it's turning that vision inwardly and saying, how do I express myself? And therein lies true happiness.
So let's assume that we've hit this reset button and we've decided, we've hit that breaking point. We're ready to make a change. I'm guessing that you probably have to do a little bit of work to make sure that the change you create is in alignment with what you really want to do. You know, you talk a lot about how acting really just wasn't your thing. But, you know, I think back to this quote where, you know, if you think about it, at one point in time, it was exactly everything that you wanted. Right.
Absolutely.
So like there had to be something about acting that still hit your core values and what you believed in and who you are. So I'm wondering, how can we better make sure that whatever this next step we take is really in alignment with who we are? Because I think we all know deep inside who we are and who we want to be. But sometimes it's so much harder to pull it out of our brains and put it into words and, you know, put it onto paper.
Right.
So how do we make sure that we kind of stay true to ourselves throughout that process?
And thank you for asking that question. It's a great question. And that's probably, you know, the secret sauce to this whole entire thing. And the thing that I found is that you can't connect the dots looking forward. We have no idea what's going to be right for us moving ahead. But what you can do is you can connect the dots moving back, you know, looking back on what you've done or either what has worked or what hasn't worked for you. So, and this is why one of the first things that I recommend and the hugest piece to me is journaling.
Mm-hmm.
Which I offer, you know, a very guided journal, very specific to getting exact information to create that story. But, you know, at its smallest, start writing things down throughout the day. You know, when you're having thoughts, you're having your ahas, your low lows, you know, whatever the case may be, write them down. Start a journal. Start it today. Start it yesterday. And over time, you're going to see exactly like you were saying. When I got into acting, I didn't like it. And I kept saying, like, why am I going to these classes? But again, looking back on it and seeing, okay, well, you know, every time I went to class and I came home and I wrote about, you know, wow, I found this out about myself and this out about myself. I could see the patterns looking back, and I could see the pattern that, well, I did enjoy that attention. I did enjoy aspects of acting. So I am extremely, grateful that I continued on that path and that I documented it as I went forward, because then I was able to look back and be like, wow, okay, here's all these things that I did like out of it. So what does that story tell me?
Right.
And that story told me that I needed to be in front of people and I needed to tell my story. So I went that direction. So journaling is, to me, is one of the number one core pieces to everything.
Yeah.
It's really going to put it in front of you. You can have all these thoughts, but you don't remember. You don't remember what you were thinking about last Thursday at 7 o'clock, or how you went to sleep, or, you only remember the extreme emotional, issues. So if you journal throughout the day, you'll really get the fine tune of what's going on inside of you, and you'll get to see patterns. And especially if you then take that and offer to a coach, somebody that's trained to look at that information and say, wow, like, duh, how can you not see what's going on here? And that's the second hugest piece of this is, to get that accountability partner. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have something to give them, instead of wasting 90 days for me to get to know you, Zeph. And if you had been journaling for the last 90 days and just hand that over to me, it's like, oh, I got everything I need right now. This is like a playground. I could pick you right up. I can go right into, we can dive into exactly what's going on here. So they're the two biggest things is to get journaling so you can document what's going on, so you can look at it from an external position. Real black and white. There's no line when it comes to that.
Right.
Patterns show themselves in time. And then being able to offer that to a trained professional to kind of guide you is another huge piece.
I really liked what you said. I'm actually going to grab a book one sec here. So I'm reading a book right now, and you talked about how you can't really connect the dots looking forward into the future. And so I hate to be that one guy who brings up rowing in every single interview, but this book is called Mind Over Water, Lessons on Life from the Art of Rowing. And I just wanted to show this because there's a picture on this of a rower. And so see if you guys can kind of see that there.
Yep.
But basically, when someone rows, they're putting their oars in the water behind them. He's facing forward. So he's facing this way.
Upward. Okay.
And as he pulls the oars back, because it's a lever, this part of the oar is going to move up because he's pulling the boat through the water this direction. The oar is going this way, equal and opposite forces. The cool thing with that is that for him to move this boat forward, he actually has to look the other way. He can't look where he's actually going.
Neat.
And so when you're rowing, what you actually have to do is every now and then you can turn your head back and take a quick, peek with your peripheral vision, but you cannot actually turn your head all the way around and continue to row like that, because these shells are about 10, 12 feet long and only about 25 inches wide. And
okay.
So if you go and turn like that, actually the weight of your body will flip the entire boat within a heartbeat. And so it's a really cool analogy for life,
yeah.
In that, I can see the entire path of where I've been, where I left on the dock, and where the whole path through the water. I can see my oars just out to the side and, kind of like the tools I'm using to move forward. But I can only peek forward every once in a while just to make sure that I'm not going to hit anything. I can't actually, see the finish line from where I start. And so I think that's a really cool way to just kind of explain to people that as much as you want to see what's going to happen in the future, you can't. And
yeah,
it's plain and simple. Once you actually accept that and move forward and realize that, what you're doing is in the right path, and that you take a quick little peek and make sure that you're kind of going in the right direction, that's where things start to move into place.
And I'm sure, as you develop and grow as a rower and learn the skills and train under, people that are far experienced more than you, they can probably look at the wake that they're leaving behind and see patterns, which will also guide them as well. Looking back and seeing patterns, I'm sure that they can make adjustments without even taking those peaks, maybe just seeing the story that's being told behind them in the waves and what's being left, that, maybe all they need, being a seasoned professional, to guide them. So you're absolutely right. It's a great analogy. And thank you for explaining that. That's so cool.
Yeah, and so I only just started reading this book. I always kind of knew since I started rowing that there was a lot of stuff that applied to life, but that is definitely
Sure.
something very relative to what you've brought up here. This whole discussion has been amazing, and we probably could go on for 3 or 4 more hours.
Absolutely.
But I know that, you've got a busy schedule coming up. I've got a lot of things going on here.
Sure.
I would love for you to share, I know you've got some resources online you talked about. Was it a list of 150 things you should do?
I'm in the process of creating that as a gift to give. It's not something I've documented. I mean, there's a lot of them listed. There's a couple books out. I can't think of. I'm sure there's websites and all, but I'll make sure to get you some resources on that. And again, it is something that I am in the process of creating. A lot of the things I'm probably 75 of them are those that I've done, and the other 75 will be the ones that I'm still waiting to do. So yeah, so I'll definitely make that a public list. But as far as the journaling piece of it, that's something that I am currently making available, and I would love for everybody to go check out. If you go to my website, refuse.com, which is refuze dot com, right now I'm giving away my journal, my best offering to you. I'm giving it away free. I'd love for your feedback. I'd love to hear how it impacts your life. I know when you first look at it, it's a little overwhelming, because it's everything you'll need. It's every piece of every puzzle for everybody. So, it's one of those tools where just gradually fall into it. And, even if you just take one part of it, start creating that pattern, start creating that story, so you have something to look back on. And then as you use it more, you'll see how this thing works. It's a really neat, a really neat thing that's been created. And I'm pleased and proud to be able to offer it to everybody. So refuse.com, check it out.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for
Thank you.
sharing that. For
Thank
everyone
you.
listening in, just to double check that, it's Refuse with a Z, refuze.com. Definitely head on over there and grab that journal piece. I think that's going to be a great tool for everybody listening to.
Thanks, Evan.
Tony, it's been awesome having you here today. Thanks so much for sharing all this. And I'd love for everyone to check out more of what you're doing and to follow you. It's just been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Likewise, Evan. I thank you for being bold enough to put yourself out there. This is exactly what I encourage and would love. I think every individual on this planet has something inside of them that they need to be sharing with everybody. So for you, thank you so much for being bold enough to offer us this gift, and I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Cool. You have a great day, Zach.